The last chapter of Proverbs was written by King Lemuel. Here are 10 verses from Proverbs 31 on two important topics. The first subject is drinking alcohol. Let's read verses 6 and 7. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Lemuel had just said that kings shouldn't drink in verses 4 and 5. So why does he appear to condone it in verses 6 and 7? Well, the truth is he doesn't. These words cannot mean that he's approving of drinking alcohol. In the first place, that would go against the advice that he just gave in verses 4 and 5. In the second place, it would also contradict what this book said earlier in Proverbs 23, verse 31. Do not look on the wine when it sparkles in the cup. That is, stay away from it. Number three, besides, the Bible warns against drinking in other places like 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. So what is he saying in verses 6 and 7? Well, one possibility is that he's using irony. This means that if a person is determined to do something wrong, Bible writers sometimes say, go ahead, let him do it. He's going to do it anyway. Not that the Bible approves of it, but to rebuke a man for his stubbornness. You find this kind of godly sarcasm when Micaiah the prophet told the wicked King Ahab to go up to Ramoth-Gilead in 1 Kings chapter 22. He wasn't serious. He said it to mock the king's arrogance. Now, this is irony, and that may be the case here in Proverbs 31. Another possibility is that Lemuel is recommending alcohol as a medicine for a person in critical condition, someone who is, as he says, perishing, that is, someone who is dying. This person is in severe pain, and so perhaps this is no more than pain medication, which would also serve to calm his nerves. But either way, these verses do not give license to drinking. The second topic in this chapter, which is the main and the better known part of this chapter, is the great tribute to a virtuous woman beginning in verse 10. Now, the first thing that he does is to talk about how valuable a woman like this is. She's hard to find. She's worth far more than rubies, and there's no way to buy the good qualities that she has. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. He doesn't say it's hard to find a beautiful wife. He doesn't say it's hard to find a successful wife, a popular wife, or an educated wife. He's talking about virtue, moral goodness, and strength. This is a woman of character. From what he says, a woman like this was rare at that time. A woman who is virtuous is rare today. Young men need to be taught to look for a wife like this, and young women need to be taught to be virtuous. And what does this word virtuous involve? How does it show? Here are seven verses which show seven things about being a virtuous woman. Number one, in verse 11, the Bible shows that she is trustworthy. In verse 11, the Bible says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. Her husband trusts her. He doesn't worry about what she does when he's not around. Some men can't trust their wives. Their wives say things that they shouldn't. They go behind their husband's backs and overspend the money and get them in financial trouble. Sometimes they get involved with other men and have affairs, but not a virtuous wife. Her husband knows he can depend on her. He knows that she's honest. He knows that she will do what she says she will do. And what a great blessing this is for a husband. This is part of what it means to be a virtuous wife. Number two, we find in verse 12 that she is loyal to her husband. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Many people today don't know what loyalty is. Many people don't care. They're loyal, but only to themselves. But the Bible teaches us to honor our word, to treat others like we want to be treated, and to respect people who help us and feel a sense of duty to them. A virtuous woman does her husband good. She doesn't say bad things about him to hurt him. She doesn't shame him by acting foolishly. She doesn't break her marriage vows to be with someone else. She keeps her promise through thick and thin to him all the days of her life, as wedding vows say, till death do you part. Number three, she's a hard worker. Look at verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. In other words, she gets up early in the morning. Now, this is what we see in great women in the Bible, women like Sarah, Ruth, and Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. Young men who are looking for a wife need to put this toward the top of their list in things to look for in a wife. Why? Because a person's work habits say a lot about that person's character. And a woman who will not work is not a woman of character. A virtuous woman works hard, and she does that consistently without complaining. Number four, she not only takes care of her husband and her children, but she also helps needy people. Look at verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. This is a mark of a good woman. She's not selfish. She's a giver. She's compassionate. Instead of being focused on herself, she looks at others to see how she can help. It's interesting that as Paul listed requirements for the enrollment of widows to do special work in the church in 1 Timothy 5, verse 9, among those marks were things like these: lodging strangers, washing the saints' feet, relieving the afflicted, and following diligently every good work. That's being a virtuous woman. Number five, she watches her tongue. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. A virtuous woman doesn't waste time with foolish talk. She doesn't hurt people with gossip. She wouldn't dream of using bad language or dirty talk of any kind. Instead, she uses her tongue in two good ways. Notice, first of all, she opens her mouth with wisdom. When she speaks, she gives good advice, and she has something good and useful to say. Number two, she is kind. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She's not mean in the way that she talks. She's not harsh. She's kind. Oh, she can be firm. But her general demeanor and tone is one of kindness. She doesn't nag. She doesn't get mad over nothing and cut people down. She is kind in the way that she talks to her husband, her children, and other people. And she follows what Paul said in Colossians 4, verse 6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt." And she also follows what this book tells us in other places, like Proverbs 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turns away wrath," or Proverbs 25, verse 11, which says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Number six, she minds her business. Look at verse 27. The Bible says she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's the kind of woman that Paul would have held up as a great example to the women that he was trying to teach in 1 Timothy chapter 5 when he told Timothy that there were young women then who learned to be idle, 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. They learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies saying things which they ought not. And then by way of contrast, Paul says what they need to do is this. He said, "I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, and give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Too many women and too many people in general stay in other people's business so much that they cannot tend to their own, but not a virtuous woman. And finally, a virtuous woman is beautiful inside. Look at this famous verse in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing." The King James says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain," or empty. "But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Charm and beauty are shallow things without virtue. They're empty. How many young men have been drawn to a beautiful young woman only to be hurt in the end because she was no good? Appearances can be deceiving. As the old saying goes, pretty is as pretty does. And a great commentary on this is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, where Paul said that women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And that's wisdom for your day from Proverbs chapter 31.